Last week I spoke to the church about the virus using some words beginning with the letter P. And I'd like to do a similar thing today, just to remind you of some of the things that we can be thinking about as we face this crisis as a nation, and indeed as a church and individuals and families. The first two things are just reminders to us about our lives, that they're precious is the first thing. One of the things, as we see news of people dying, as we see news and situations around the world that make us really sad, and perhaps it's even closer to home for you than that. But we're reminded how precious life is, that God says that life is very precious. And we get caught up with so many other things in this world, and sometimes, at times like this, we're reminded just how precious our lives are. But also, our lives are precarious, that they're fragile. And whilst a few weeks ago we were going on life as normal and the world just ticked on and we wouldn't have dreamt of what's happened, we're reminded at times like this that our lives are so small and so insignificant, so precarious. In the letter of James, it says in verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." So our lives are indeed precarious. Just want to remind you as well, there's a practical response, another P, a practical response to this virus. And I just encourage you to follow the advice that we're being given from the scientists and from government. Even those in the groups like the FIC, as a church, we're listening to what these organisations tell us, the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. Just want to encourage you to do the things that they say, and to certainly avoid close contact with those who are unwell, and to distance yourself from others as much as you can. Conscious, of course, that there are some people who can't do that, people that are doctors and nurses and teachers and in other avenues of work who can't do that. And so we will be praying for those in a moment. If there's only one P that you remember of my little list, this is the next one, the one I want you to remember, which is that the power belongs to God. Power belongs to God, that He is sovereign, that He rules and reigns in this world. And whilst it might have caught us off guard, while we might be completely staggered by what has happened, God knows all about it. He is perfectly in control. And so we look to Him this morning for comfort and for peace and for strength. And indeed, peace is the next thing I wanted to mention, that we can find a peace with God. Even when you're anxious and worried, there is a time that we can look to God and find peace. Let me read to you from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Perhaps this morning you're feeling fearful and anxious, and there's some advice there to turn to God in thanksgiving and prayer and find the peace that only He can bring. I want to remind you, another P, to be positive to others. As we are caring for ourselves and for our family, one of the things, of course, is that we should have compassion for those who are vulnerable. And one of those reasons why we're not mixing with other people so much is that we want to share compassion. We're not so worried about getting it ourselves, perhaps, but we're concerned that we might be passing it on to others that are more vulnerable than us. And when we go into the shops, we think about other people as well as our own needs, that we leave goods for others rather than just stockpiling in our own houses. I want to remind you that it's a wonderful opportunity, church, to proclaim the gospel. That when the world is facing such a crisis, then it's a good time to be speaking about the good news and the hope of Jesus that we have in our lives. So speak out. You remember when Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That is the attitude of a Christian. That death is brings us into God's presence. Now there's probably lots for us to do here while we're here, and death will come later on, but our attitude should be that death for us is gain. And so surely we should have a peace and a deep joy even during these troubling times. I want to remind you that health and disease is a picture of sin. Yeah, there's a great disease, it's worse than any other disease, the disease of sin. It's rebellion in our hearts against a good and loving God. It's a deadly, terrible sin. But the wonderful thing about this disease of sin, there is a cure. And we know the cure. The cure is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we meet this morning. So it's a picture of sin. I also want to remind you that it's prophetic. If you look up Luke chapter 21, you'll find that Jesus was speaking about his second coming, the time when he's going to come again. He's come once and he came to die, but he will come again. And he was talking about the signs that would precede that. And this is what he says in Luke chapter 21, verses 10 and 11. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. And so pestilences or disease is one of the things. It's a sign that the Lord Jesus is coming back. So we need to be ready for him. And lastly, the last P is to remind you to pray. One of the great gifts that God has given us is that we can communicate with him. And so we're going to pray right now. We're going to pray for our nation and the situation. We're going to remember that it's Mother's Day today. And what a strange Mother's Day. But we're going to be praying and thanking God for mothers and asking God's help for them this day too. We'll be thinking of children. And we'll be turning our attention to the Lord. So let's pray together. Let's pray. Father God, in the situation we find ourselves, Lord, we long for comfort. We long for hope. We long for peace. We long for joy. Lord, we are struggling. And Lord, we long that today, in their suffering in our hearts and in the suffering of those around us and in this world, and particularly those who are suffering with this coronavirus disease, Lord, we pray that you would bring comfort and hope and strength. We pray for those who today are mourning, that it's not just an inconvenience, but for them it's meant the loss of a loved one and are mourning. We pray, Lord, that you would meet them in their grief. We pray, Lord, for those who feel isolated, for those who are doing the right thing and perhaps keeping away from social contact, but it's made them feel alone and lonely. And we pray for them, Lord. Help us to stay in touch as we can through telephone and emails and such like. We pray, Lord, for any that are feeling isolated on our street and in our family, in our town. We ask, Lord God, that you'd help us in some way to show them that they're being remembered. We pray for those who are worried about their business or they're losing their job. Lord God, please give them wisdom and guidance for the way ahead. We pray, Lord, today for those who are at the front line, those working in the hospitals, those that are in the other uniformed services, the police, the fire, the ambulance, etc. We pray for those who are working in social care, caring for those that are vulnerable. We pray for those working in shops that are continuing to supply us with our daily needs. And for many others We pray, Lord God, that you would sustain them and strengthen them. And when there's fear, we pray that you'd bring peace. We do pray, Lord, today for mothers. It's Mothering Sunday, a day when we would normally be celebrating together and having good family gets together. And Lord, we pray for them. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for those who've encouraged and protected us, for those who've supplied our needs, for those who've made great sacrifice for our good. We pray, Lord, that today, whilst it might not be like any other Mother's Day they've known, that they would know your blessing. We pray, Lord, for children today. Perhaps as they struggle a little bit to come to terms with what's going on, just like as adults we do too. And we ask, Lord, that you'd help them to understand. We pray, Lord, that you'd grant them peace. We pray for any children that are particularly anxious or fearful about the future. We pray, Lord, that they would reach out to you in simple faith and trust in you. And so, Lord God, as we come to you this morning, and as we come to turn to your word, we ask that you would speak to us. We ask that you would comfort us. We ask that you would give us great peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading this morning is from the book of Romans. And so if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to get it out and find Romans. It's a book in the New Testament after the four Gospels and Acts. We're going to be reading the first 11 verses, so Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Let's give you a moment to find it. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were not reconciled to God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who through whom we have now received reconciliation. You know, every day, we make decisions about priorities. We ask ourselves, what is the most important thing to do? And the current situation illustrates this perfectly. It's more important to slow the spread of COVID-19 than go to school, than to meet up with family and friends, even on Mother's Day, than to go out to the pub or to go out and have a meal. It's even more important to stop the spread of COVID-19 than to meet together in a church building today. We're making decisions about priorities all the time. So when it came to me starting to think about, well, what would I say today? What's my priority? What's the most important thing for me to say for people to hear today? I decided that I'm going to speak about something that's more important than COVID-19. Something that's more up to date. Something that's more relevant even than coronavirus. What I'm going to do is I'm going to continue the series that I planned for Easter, which started last week, asking the question, why did Jesus die? It is the most important thing to consider. Even in a time like this, far above concerns about our health, far above concerns about our family, there is a concern and a question about why did Jesus die? Last week, we asked the same question, why did Jesus die? And I brought the first answer, and there's lots of answers. There could be a long list of answers, but we're going to be looking at four or five over the coming weeks. The first one was that Jesus died to provide a place where we could meet with God. Before the death of the Lord Jesus, the place to meet with God or to know his presence was in that temple in Jerusalem, as we could read in the Old Testament. But Jesus said that he was the temple. And so as he died, that curtain in the temple tore from top to bottom, and access was made possible for all to come to the Lord Jesus. That now sins could be dealt with for everybody that would come to him by faith. We didn't no longer need to go to a particular building or a particular city, a particular part of the world. We needed by faith to reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first answer was Jesus died to be the place where we can meet with God. And if you've not met with God, that's the place to go. If you've not met with God, the place to go is to find out about Jesus and come to him in faith. And this week's answer to the question, why did Jesus die, is that he came to show us God's attitude towards us. And truth be known, perhaps you've been wondering that over the last week or so, when you've seen what's been happening in the world, and you've been thinking, what is God thinking about us right now? The answer to the question, or the answer to what his attitude is towards us, can be summed up in just one word, and it's the word grace. It's the name of the church here in Loftus, Grace Community Church in Loftus. Grace just means undeserved favour, undeserved love. So why did Jesus die? He died to show God's attitude towards us, and that attitude is grace. Undeserved favour. He looks upon us with love, undeserved love. And his love, his amazing grace, is seen in two ways in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And that's where we're going to be thinking, just this one verse. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And the two things in there are sort of two sides of the same coin. It says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Firstly, we see demonstrated to us the great sacrifice that God makes for us. In other words, the cost of his grace. And secondly, we see that we did not deserve it. We were sinners. And it shows us the depth of his grace. The cost of his grace and the depth of his grace. So the cost of his grace, let's think about that for a few moments. God's attitude to us is one of willing sacrifice. That his love for us is a costly love, and he was willing to pay the cost, sending his own son to die. Just think about some examples of sacrifice that you're aware of. Think about Remembrance Sunday. Each year in November and other times as well, but particularly in November, we remember soldiers who made the ultimate sacrifice for us, serving Queen and country and their families and us that have benefited from their service. And so many of them made the ultimate sacrifice, laying down their lives for us. Think about those in the current situation of this COVID-19 virus who are sacrificing things for us, who are willing to go into hospitals and treat patients who have this virus. Doctors and nurses, those in uniform services, teachers that have exposed themselves to so many children, people in the supermarket that are working to serve us and have all these people going through their till, and many other sacrifices as well. And in fact, we're all being asked to make sacrifices, aren't we? To stop seeing your family and friends in order to protect those that are vulnerable. And today, it's Mother's Day. Surely one of the things that we want to be thankful for our mothers is for their example of sacrifice. That a mother lays down a life for her children. Feeding, nurturing, caring, washing, cooking, serving. You mums know the reality of it. So often it's you that do the hard things. I'm sure you've got much better things to do than change nappies, clear up sick, endure sleepless nights, deal with tantrums. And I don't just mean the toddlers, you're probably dealing with tantrums of teenagers and maybe even husbands as well. These are examples of sacrifice that we see in everyday life. One amazing thing though, that God himself would love us in such a way. Our Creator. What an amazing thing that the Creator of the universe cares about us at all. But not does he just care about us, he cares about us and loves us so much that he gives us his own Son. He sends his Son into the world, the Son that was in the glory of heaven, the Son that was enjoying that wonderful fellowship of the Trinity, who becomes a baby. 18 inches long, dependent upon his mother Mary. What love it took for God to send his Son into the world, that he would live on this world with all its trouble, with all its trials and sickness, and with all its diseases, and with all its sin. And the pure Son of God lived here for us, and he lived a perfect life and suffered the rejection of those who nailed him to the cross. The Bible calls Jesus the author of life. What an amazing description that the author of life would give his life for us. What love! It says in John 3:16, perhaps the most well-known verse of the Bible, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, history proves, the history of Christ's death, the real historical event, proves that God's attitude to us is gracious and kind. So if you're ever doubting God's love, perhaps you've got trouble in the family and you're beginning to wonder, does God really care about us? Or perhaps you've got money trouble and you're wondering, does God really care about us? Or perhaps you've got unemployment has come by, or there's trouble at work and you're wondering whether God cares for you. Or there's sickness in your family, or death in your family. Or right now you're looking at the global pandemic and thinking, does God really love us? If today you're saying, where is God? Doesn't he care about us? Here is proof that he does care. He sent his own Son to die that we might have eternal life. You remember that when he was born, he was called, according to the prophecy, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God loves us and he cares for us and he is on our side in that sense. He wants to come alongside. So why did Jesus die? He died as a demonstration of his love. He died to show us God's attitude towards you.
He died to show you the wealth and the riches of God's amazing grace. He came to prove his sacrificial love. I was thinking about the cost of his grace, and now I just want to move and think for a few moments about the depth of his grace. It says in that verse, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now I wonder, we were chatting the other day actually, talking about people watching. I wonder if you like doing that, where you watch and you see what people do and you see their behaviour and you're sort of working out people's relationships or what they're thinking by the things that they're doing. I wonder if you ever do that. Perhaps you're at the shops and you're just watching people and the things they're doing and saying and behaving towards one another. Well, one of the most painful things to see is when somebody clearly loves somebody else, they're going out of their way to show that, but the love is not returned. I learned, it was only a few years ago, I must admit, that word that describes that, unrequited. A love that's being given out, but's not returned. Perhaps you've seen some of those video clips. There's a bit of a thing in America, and sorry if anyone from America is listening, but I really don't understand it. Baseball, this is. But during a baseball match, they seem to have a spot where they zoom the camera in to a couple in the stadium. And I think the idea is that as the camera zooms in and it's all displayed on a great big screen so everybody, the thousands of people in the stadium can see, the idea is that these couple kiss one another and everybody cheers. And occasionally something really special happens. Perhaps someone proposes. Perhaps a man proposes to his girlfriend when the camera comes in close and everyone goes wild and cheers. But occasionally, the camera goes in close, and whether they've just chosen the wrong couple or they're not a couple, I don't know. But just as it closes in, the couple realise what's happening, and one turns to kiss the other, and the other one turns away. Or perhaps you've just been walking down the street and watched someone reach out their hand to hold someone else's hand, and the person takes the hand away. You know, Jesus knew that feeling. Once when he was speaking to the Jewish leaders in Matthew 23 and verse 37, he said this. He was seeing how hard their hearts were, and he said, "Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." There's something of God's heart for those that needed him. Something of the heart of his love, and he turned his back on them. Now, it wasn't just the Jews of Jerusalem who rejected Jesus like this. He came to the world to save us. And we have rejected him on the whole. What it says in John's Gospel, right at the beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." There were a few that did, because it says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." I wonder if you can see this in yourself. That there's been a man who came to save you, and you have turned away from him. That he came and you rejected him. You know, this is an essential thing for every Christian to understand, that that is the nature of our hearts. Some people think that Christians are people who just think they're better than everybody else. Christians think that they look down their noses at everyone. They turn up on a Sunday and they think they're better, and they sing these wonderful songs and they put their nice suits on and they think they're better than everybody else. But nothing could be further from the truth. The Christian is someone who knows their heart, knows that they've rejected God, knows that they've turned against Him, knows that they're a sinner, knows that when Jesus came they were in their sin. They didn't deserve it or earn it. It's a misunderstanding about Christians that couldn't be further from the truth. If you're someone that's proud of your life, if you're someone that thinks you're doing really well, if you're someone that thinks you're a good person, well, really there's not a place for you in the church. The church is for a place for sinners. It's a place for misfits. It's a place for people who have rejected God and known that they've done that. There are people... It's a place for people that know that they are wretches. Do you remember the song? Hopefully you might get a chance to sing it later. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's amazing. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, when did this happen? How did God show His love? He showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a wealth, what a richness of love that reaches out to us even while we're rebelling against Him. It's amazing that the Son of God should die for you, but even more amazing that He did it before you ever thought of turning to Him. You know, there's a wonderful example. In fact, they're right through the Bible. But a wonderful example in the Apostle Paul. You remember, it was Saul and he became the Apostle Paul. He was someone who was a rebel. He was someone who actually actively fought against Jesus and against the Christians. In fact, he was going to try and persecute them when he was on that Damascus road when Jesus appeared to him and showed himself to him. And Paul, as he became known, was never the same again. Jesus had died for him while he was still a sinner, but now he had seen what Jesus had done and had yielded to Him and would be used greatly by Him. Just while we're on this subject of the depth of His grace, just notice as well the importance of sin. God's attitude to sin, He hates sin. It's rebellion against Him. We can't talk about it being a small thing. We can't come trying to cover things up before God, because God looks right in our hearts and He sees everything. And it was such a big deal to God. If you think, well, was it really a big deal? Yes, it was a big deal. Because that's why He sent His Son, to deal with our sin. So in conclusion then, this is the most important thing for you to hear during this time. It is the highest priority. Listen to Jesus, Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And calling the crowd to Him with His disciples, He said to them, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for My sake and for the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" Your soul is worth more than all the possessions of the whole world. And Jesus came to save you from your sin and to give you eternal life. The call this morning is to be careful that we don't wallow in feeling a victim of this terrible virus, but to see this situation as a timely reminder of the precarious state of our souls. To show us and remind us of our rebellion and our need of a Saviour. All of the things that distract us from it have been taken away. We love to fill our minds and fill our houses and fill our lives with all sorts of things that distract us from thinking about the eternal nature of our soul. Of facing the reality of death. Of facing the reality of sins that aren't forgiven. Of facing the reality of our rebellion against God. And God, in His grace and mercy, He's reminding us right now that there are more important things than getting a new car, than buying some new clothes, than getting a new job, than watching the latest telly, than going to the football match, or anything else that might be a distraction for you, is reminding you that today you need to turn to Him and yield to Him. We see that we need a Saviour, and we find in Jesus the perfect Saviour, because He came while we were sinners. We don't have to try and make ourselves special before He'll love us. He loves us already, but we do need to yield to Him. We need to repent and turn from our sin and trust in Him. Some people might be thinking at the moment that God has abandoned us. You might feel that God has never shown Himself to you. You might be sitting waiting for God to do something really amazing before you believe it in Him. And I want to say to you, He's done it. He's here. He's already done it. He's proved His love to you by giving us His Son. What's His attitude towards you? Grace and love. Undeserved love. And what does He want? He wants us to respond in repentance and faith. Let's close in prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the way that it teaches us what's most important in life. We pray, Lord God, that You'd help us to understand the great love that You have for us, and the way that You've shown it in Your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that You would meet us in our need right now. We're perhaps thinking things that we've never thought before. We're thinking in ways that we've never thought before. And Lord, behind it all perhaps is that You're calling us to Yourself, that You're drawing us closer to You, that You're reminding us that we need You. You're reminding us of the eternal nature of our soul. And pray, Lord God, that You would grant us the faith and the repentance and the belief. Please, Lord God, watch over us. Please, Lord God, help us. Please, Lord God, give wisdom to our government as they seek to deal with this, the effects of this virus. Please give wisdom to the doctors and nurses. Please, Lord God, give strength to their arm. Please, Lord God, we pray that the NHS would not be overwhelmed. We pray that You deliver us from this. And we ask, Lord God, that as well as a physical rescue, that You would also rescue our souls as we yield to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll find on the YouTube channel, after we've just gone, we're going to go close the video in a few seconds. But just after we finish, you'll find that at the top of the screen on our channel, there's a playlist. If you click on there, you'll find that there's several songs that reflect something of what we've been thinking about this morning. And I dare you to sit at home and sing the songs and make a joyful noise to the Lord and worship Him as you thank Him for His great grace and love to you today. If you'd like to get in touch with us, many of you will already have contacts for us, but on the page as well, there's a little tab at the top where it says About. If you click on that, you'll find our email addresses there, and you'll also find us, Grace Church Loftus, on Facebook. Well, may God bless you, and we look forward to meeting again like this next Sunday at 10:30. God bless.